If you've been struggling with sleep for a decade, you need to listen to this podcast about the Sleep Fix Formula. Dr. Bijoy John will tell us how you too can start sleeping better today. So he's the founder of Sleep Fix Academy and Sleep Wellness Clinics of America. So Dr. Bijoy, tell us how, what are the most common root causes of insomnia and the chronic insomnia that you see in your patients? And how can someone solve the issue?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Lily, it's a global universal problem. You know, I call it the new pandemic, right? So a lot of things have changed. The big thing that affects sleep is our interest in knowing about everything and how we get it. You know, we all have access to 24/7 knowledge. We have our phones with that. And then what we do is we bring the phone to our bedroom and the light from the phone tells the brain, hey, no need to sleep. It's still daytime. That's a major, major problem, right? And also in the middle of the night, we look up the time or we might respond to messages or answer email. All those revs up our mind. You know, the common thing is the complaint everybody tells me is, Dr. John, I cannot turn my mind off. But you're not giving it a chance to rest. So the cell phone, and also, you know, we are in a sense of anxiety. You know, ever since the pandemic, a lot of us are a little bit more anxious than ever before, you know, just because the world we live in, you know, a lot of uncertainty. So the anxiety and the use of, you know, the gadgets are two things that is affecting our sleep in today's world.
Thank you. Is insomnia usually the main issue, or is it a symptom of something else like depression, anxiety, and other causes?
Great question. So usually insomnia is actually the tip of the iceberg or something going on with most people. The most common is, like you said, anxiety or depression, and it could be a sign of sleep disorders like, you know, sleep apnea. When you have, you know, sleep apnea, you know, people wake up, or it could be a medical problem. Sometimes chronic pain affects people's sleep, right? And then it could also be like problems like diabetes, where, you know, folks have to wake up and use the restroom multiple times. And also some other conditions like asthma, COPD, all those causes to wake up during the middle of the night. So it could be mental, like anxiety, depression. It could be medical, like, you know, diabetes or COPD or asthma. Or it could be sleep disorders like sleep apnea and limb movement. So it could be a myriad of causes that affects our sleep.
Thank you. How can someone differentiate between a short-term sleep issue and clinical insomnia?
Right. So, you know, life, when life happens, when you have something dramatic happen in your life, like a death of a loved one, loss of job, you know, financial stress, all those are clear causes of insomnia. But those are short-lived, maximum about 2 to 3 months. But if you still have problems after that episode or that thing that happened in your life, then that is something called chronic insomnia, or, you know, otherwise we call it primary insomnia, because the insomnia is not due to something else.
Thank you. How much does stress or overthinking contribute to insomnia? And what can someone do that is aware that stress does contribute to their overthinking, and then from there to sleepless nights? What can they do to stop being so stressed and stop overthinking about their wages or their inability to pay the staff or whatever it is that is keeping them up at night, so they can start sleeping better?
This is the same problem that I faced. You know, I had a, you know, situational insomnia when I started my own business. So I think it's, if you have time, I can go a strategy, which is part of the whole process that I use an acronym called Sleep Now. SLEPNOW. I can go through all this, and then I think it's part of the answer to how to deal with stress. See, in short, stress releases cortisol, and that changes the body temperatures, the core body temperatures, and that's one of the main problems that we cannot sleep. The common thing is I cannot shut my mind down. So this strategy is holistic, non-medicinal. I've worked on it for 25 years. I practice in my own life. So I'm ready to share this with all your audience if you're ready.
Yes. Tell us the blueprint first for how someone can stop insomnia and
Okay.
start sleeping better.
Great. So it's called Sleep Now, SLEPNOW. The first is in the acronym is the S. It's a schedule. For any plan to succeed, we need to have a schedule. So the schedule to good time to sleep it is between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. I get asked this all the time. Why do I need to go to bed at 10 p.m.? Because the sweet sleep happens early in the night. As the night progresses, we go into more REM sleep, which is not very restful. So to get the good sleep, you need to go to bed early. And as the night progresses and sunlight happens, your sleep is particularly affected. So 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. is ideal for sleeping. The next in the algorithm is the L, low light, low noise, low temperature. Your bedroom has to be dark and it should be cold and less noise. Why? Because the word melatonin, the melatonin is a hormone that puts us to sleep. The mela in melatonin is mela means darkness. So melatonin is optimally secreted in darkness and lower temperature. That's why when you go to like tropical vacations, you don't sleep well because it's too hot. And of course, noise affects the quality of sleep. So the next is the E in is electronics. I say no to electronics at least half hour prior to going to sleep, because when you have electronics, it's bringing anxiety with you. Most people have their phones and the gadgets and the tablets and all next to them, but when you look at it, you're tempted to look at your text messages or your likes or dislikes. You want a response to email, and it creates a sense of anxiety. The bills you have to pay. But if it's not there close to you, I tell them to leave it far away. I leave my phone in my bathroom. I have an alarm, so I'm not tempted. And also in the middle of the night, if you look at the gadgets and you're tempted to look at the time, it's mostly it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. It's only 2 o'clock, so you tend to worry about that. So that's a no to electronics at least 30 minutes prior. So the next in the acronym is the E, is no to exercise at least 3 to 4 hours prior to going to sleep, because when you exercise, you release endorphins, and also you increase core body temperature. Remember, the melatonin is not secreted when the temperature of your body is high. It's only secreted when your core body temperature drops. So the best time to exercise in the morning, but if you have to exercise in the evening, at least be done by around 6 p.m. So that's an ideal thing. So the next is the P in the acronym is power off your mind. So I teach two techniques. One's called yoga nidra. The nidra means nothingness. It's also called the corpse pose or the shavasana. You lay on your back with your palms spread up, and then start focusing from your scalp all the way. It's called the one of those cognitive behavioral therapy treatment for insomnia. It's a body scan, so you're trying to ease into sleep. So once you do that, it'll be great. Second technique I teach is called vivid imagination. When you lie in bed, you don't want to think about reality or the bills or the stress or the fights. You want to think about the TV show you saw or a movie. I want you to be the director of that show. I practice that, for the last, 30, 35 years. When I lay down, I don't think about anything that's real. I go into deep sleep very quickly. So the next in the algorithm is NO, no to worries. This is very important. No to worries in bed. I tell people to worry between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. I take a dedicated time to worry, and resolve some of those things that you cannot, write it down, and then you're done. You're not taking it with into your bedroom. So number one, this is a lot of people know a lot of techniques, but the powering off your mind and the no to worries technique is my own that has really helped a lot of people. So leave it out, all right? So then the last is W is win by losing. You know, in the hustle culture, we want to win, win, win. But sleep is one thing. You have to lose yourself. Keep it simple, not complicated. So that's the Sleep Now acronym, SLEPNOW, schedule, low light, low noise, low temperature, no to electronics, and no to exercise at least 3 hours prior, power off your mind, no to worries, and win by losing. Remember, bedroom is only for sleeping, and you don't go to bed trying to sleep, just like you don't sit in a dining table trying to get hungry, right? You only go there to eat. So bedroom has to be for sleeping. Leave everything out. It just should be like as you're entering airport screening. You know, if you have your cell phone, it's going to beep. If you have your worries, it's going to beep. Leave it all outside, and then you are less likely to worry, and you'll be able to fall asleep.
Thank you. What I've noticed is that I had a really good sleep routine, and in general, I can sleep very well. Okay. But what I started to do, because I worked as a property manager for a while, 14 mm-hmm. years. And mm-hmm. what I noticed is that because people were writing to me until even 2 a.m, sometimes they would get locked out and whatever. So I gradually started to sleep later, later, later. And all of a sudden I was going to bed at 4 a.m. and then waking up at 12. So what was happening is that it was so hard for me to kind of start being healthy, because it's not that I struggled to sleep. I always was okay to sleep, but I was just sleeping at the wrong time. And what I found is that, for example, when I went to traveling, let's say I went to Dubai or I went to any sort of country, because I was very tired, it was very easy for me to get into a good routine in that country. So in that country, I would have a normal routine, maybe because it was also the 5 hour difference that was exactly the same as the one that I had in London, but just, you know what I mean, because of the time difference. But what was interesting, regardless of where I went abroad, it was always so easy to get into a good routine of like waking up early, you know, it's sunny. Whereas in London, it's like always so dark, and it's almost like it's so hard to get yourself to like wake up and have a good routine. So I'm wondering, for people that have like an entrenched, a bad sleeping routine where they are sleeping well, but they are just sleeping well at the wrong time, which clearly means that could have a bad impact on your health. And I did notice that because, for example, whenever I was going to bed at four in the morning, I would function, but I would like take pills the entire day, like ibuprofen to kind of, because mm-hmm. I would always have migraines or headaches. And I was a little bit groggy, you know, like just trying to, it felt almost like trying to push a car uphill without petrol. So how can someone get back into a good routine in their home country when they have been, let's say, they've had a really bad sleep routine of going to bed late every single night for years?
Okay. So Lily, I call that you have a teenager's problem, right? So young teens, because of the hormones, they push the clock forward. And because of the work schedule, most of the adults move their clock forward. So this is called delayed sleep phase syndrome. This is a known entity. I see patients like this all the time. So you're moving your, what's 10 a.m. for normal people? It's 10 p.m. for normal people is 4 a.m. for you. You have 6 hours advanced your clock, right? So how do I bring the clock back? It will take a little bit of time, but what we need to do is to wake up at 8 a.m. So you're going to only sleep 4 hours for the first few days, but you have to wake up at 8. And then what will happen? You will start sleeping at, you know, you went to bed at 4, you'll start sleeping at 3 p.m. and then 2 p.m., but you have to wake up. And plus, I also use light therapy. So when you wake up at 8 a.m., I want you to look at a bright light with at least 10,000 lux. So creating a sense, it's, you know, it's daytime. You're not sleepy yet, you know. So that's how you shift your clock. And also, I encourage people to take a little bit of melatonin around 2 a.m. Initially when you're moving. I'm speaking specifically for you. So 2 hours prior to your bedtime to move the clock. And eventually, the clock will move. It'll take about 4 to 6 weeks to do that. You know, I also deal with the other problem. Some people go to bed early. I do just the opposite of what I told you. So delayed sleep phase is a very common problem because of the society we live in. But it affects your body because it affects the biorhythms of your body. You know, a lot of hormones like Like cortisol have a diurnal peak and valley, so it happens close towards the daytime. It should go down, but then now that is all shifted. All your body functions are shifted, so you need to pull it back because the world runs 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You are running like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. You are in a different phase, so you have to be very careful with that because it is shifting. That's why you have all those aches and pains, because when you're moving, we have more cortisol, which is one of the function is an anti-inflammatory. You don't feel much pain. Now your cortisol is low during the day, so that's why you have to take some of the medications to relieve your pain. So the whole thing has been shifted.
Thank you. Interestingly, I have tried exactly that method of waking up at 8, but that's because I had to. For example, let's say I had some appointments where I had to be somewhere, so I had to wake up at 8. And I've made this happen. And then kind of like I was, let's say, going to bed at 2 in the morning and then waking up at 8 and then going to bed normal the next day. But then the thing that I found was that my phone is so addictive. I'm so TikTok. And I'm like watching a lot of different interesting stuff on TikTok. So I'm like so hooked. It's almost like that's my only drug that I'm taking at the moment, the TikTok addiction, And what do you do for people that, let's say, are addicted to their social media so much so that that's the thing that's keeping them up at night? So it's not that I'm not tired, because I am tired, So I could go to bed at midnight, but I'm just like so glued to my phone
The
that.
information overload. The first thing for any problem is to admit that you have a problem. The good news, you're saying you have the problem, right? So now the way to do is to take time to watch your TikTok, right? So do like 2 hours. This is where I get all my the TikTok University is where I get all my knowledge. Some people have Facebook University, WhatsApp University. So we are all wanting to know. I read something that we have something called mind obesity, because we are feeding so much of information. Your mind is not really active. It just gets overweight and not able to function well. The overload of information. We are on this overload. So for somebody like you and many people who are listening, you have the cell phone addiction, or you have to watch it. Well, let's say today I'm going to watch it for 3 hours, right? I'm going to take 10 p.m. or not 10 p.m. so 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. to watch it, or somewhere along the time, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. or something like that. Take some time to do that, and then you will be like, yeah, I'm done with it. That's the only way to get over that. And I would recommend to watch it earlier in the night, or the day, than later, because the light will not tell your brain it's still daytime. So take a time between, for you, something 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. and be done with TikTok University.
Thank you. For people that want to heal, sleep issues, do you recommend, for example, bioresonance or any other techniques? I don't know, any sort of like technology apparatus that can be wearable for people to optimize their insomnia faster? Is there anything they can wear?
So we know in this hustle culture, we want to hustle our way into sleep. But unfortunately, Lily, this is one skill we can't hustle. You have to do it like the natural way. People wear a lot of gadgets, the wearables. I tell everybody to wear it and get a data, all right? Get some data and then identify the problem and then do something about it. And then go back and look at it. See, having it every night and looking at the data is called data mining. You can't data mine your way into sleep. It only creates more anxiety called sleep anxiety. So I tell people not to wear it every night. I tell everybody to get a 1 week of data and see what is wrong. If you see something, obviously, if you see your clock is moved forward, then it's a problem. And if you're waking at time multiple times a night to look at your phone or something, then those are the identifiable problems. That sometimes you might have to get help with a professional.
Thank you. In terms of what's the adequate number of hours that entrepreneurs should sleep? The reason I ask you this is because there are some known you know, presidents and, you know, influencers and CEOs that actually sleep a lot less than 8 hours. Some of them 4 hours or 6 hours. They're following some, I don't know, method of, I'm not sure if it was Napoleon or someone who did manage to, you know, use that method in order to sleep less and do a lot more. What's the scientific studies related to sleeping less? And can someone function appropriately while sleeping less?
Great question. So this is the way that we live in an age of information and misinformation, right? So the ideal time for adults is about somewhere like 7 to 8 hours. Children need more sleep. Teens need more sleep. So now there's few people like Elon Musk who does not need much sleep. He's called a short sleeper. He's born that way. See, what happens is he sleeps 4 hours and he gets the deepest sleep within that 4 hours. So we are not born that way. But then the misinformation says, hey, look at him. He don't need to sleep. You know, he's not sleeping, so you don't need to sleep. You see what I'm saying? So that's absolutely wrong. Those people are different. They're born that way. You know, Elon, what he did, he thought everybody's like that, and he forced everybody into working hard like him. And then everybody were beaten down to exhaustion, and there was a lot of errors. That's when he realized he's different. So he went on the national news and said, hey, everybody needs to sleep. I'm different. You see the difference? So we all need, but so how do I know that? All right. So in the morning, let's say you slept for 5 hours, and then you feel great for long periods of time, then you may be a short sleeper. You know, I see patients like that, you know, high functioning people come because they are so, have their family says, hey, Mr. Jones, you don't sleep much. You need to go. So I evaluate. So if you feel good in the morning after sleeping 5 hours, then you're good. But if you're tired, hey, you're not that, you don't have that genetic lottery. You need to sleep a little bit longer. So that's how you find out.
Thank you. What's the detrimental side of oversleeping?
That's a great question. Some people there's a condition called hypersomnia or narcolepsy where people need more sleep, right? So if you are a normal person, you can sleep up to 8 hours, right? That's good. And you will feel great. And if you're sleeping longer than 8 hours, meaning 10, 12 hours, and then you're still tired, then you might have a condition called hypersomnia. And then you need more sleep. And why is that? You have a chemical deficiency. One of the harmful things about, you know, being sleepy all the time, you are at risk for errors. You know, you're not in a good mood. You know, your mental health is bad because poor sleep worsens anxiety and depression, and anxiety and depression worsens, you know, sleep. And then you can create errors. You know, you are at risk for accidents. You're an unhappy person. There's a lot more. So if you sleep more than 8 hours, and then you're consistently tired, then you have a condition called hypersomnia. You want to check that out.
Thank you. What's the negative impact of food and drink on sleep? And how can someone prevent that and instead eat the right food that could be conducive to better sleep?
Great question. So, you know, the food and sleep are, you know, everybody talks about weight loss and food. But I think if you are exercising, weight loss, whatever, you have to have sleep also as a foundation. Because when we sleep well, you secrete a lot of growth hormone, which is very much needed for children to grow. But in adults, it's responsible for healing our muscle. So good sleep helps us to recover faster. And you know, if you're an insomniac, you don't sleep well, what are you doing? The more time you're awake, the more time you have to eat. And when you're tired and groggy, what are you going to eat? You're going to eat the high glycemic, high sugary, high carb diet. And guess what? You know, there's studies which shows even if you have a high glycemic, the sugary food, 4 hours prior to sleep, it's going to affect your quality of sleep. So good sleep also changes the hormones called leptin and ghrelin. The leptin lowers the appetite, ghrelin increases the appetite. We need more of leptin. And so what happens when you sleep well, that ratio is really good. But if you don't sleep well, we have less of leptin and more of ghrelin, then you tend to gain weight. And also, do not eat like closer to bedtime, a large meal. So if you have a heavy meal close to bedtime, the body tries to digest that food. And in the process of digestion, you have more heat and increases your body temperature. And remember, the high body temperature is not conducive for sleeping. Same thing with drinking. If you drink close to bedtime, you are likely to use the restroom. So do not consume a lot of water closer to, I'm talking about an hour prior to bedtime. And of course, alcohol is a totally separate topic.
Thank you. Regarding food, would you say that it's required for someone to not eat anything 4 hours before bedtime in order to have the best results in terms of sleeping?
2 hours. It stays in your stomach for about 2 hours. So you should be done. If you're going to bed at 10, you should be done by 8 p.m. Try not to have a large, high protein meal that takes your body to digest. Something like simple salad, simple carbs, lighter meat, and not full stomach around. You should be done by 2 hours prior to bedtime.
Thank you. Are there any contraindications to, for example, have five coffees a day that will lead to insomnia?
Yes, coffee consumption, the caffeine is a stimulant. So the moment we are waking up, there is a chemical called adenosine, which is making you sleepy. Caffeine fights that. So if it's okay to have a cup of coffee in the morning, and it's okay to have a cup of coffee in the afternoon, because that's the circadian rhythm, you tend to be sleepy in the afternoon. So if you're having more than two cups of coffee, then you have a sleep debt. And having, each cup of coffee will have about 200, 150, 200. So if you can have 1,000 milligrams of caffeine, that's going to affect your sleep at night for sure.
Thank you. For those people drinking alcohol before bed, what's your recommendation there?
Alcohol, anesthetizes the brain. It doesn't put you to sleep. It just numbs the brain and you pass out literally. But then what happened? Alcohol metabolizes into acetaldehyde, which is an irritant which wakes you up. And so later in the night, you wake up. And also alcohol is a diuretic, so you have to pee. So you're dehydrated and the chemical, the acetaldehyde builds up, and that's why you have the hangover. So better to drink and be drunk, finish your drinking process 2 hours prior. So it leaves your body and it does not have residual effects. That's what I would recommend.
Thank you. Do you recommend drinking any sort of tea? I don't know, peppermint tea or any other like soothing tea that will enable you to be relatively calm before bed, or to do any other activity like, I don't know, having a hot bath, or I don't know, a hot shower or a cold shower. I don't know, something that will enable someone to be extra calm when they're going to bed so they can quickly fall asleep.
Right. So some of those teas have some soothing, calming properties like chamomile tea. There's people feel a little better, but we are all made different. Sometimes these are like stimulants. Same thing with taking a shower. Shower increases the body temperature, and then what happens? Then the body tries to cool yourself. Right. So it may be working great for certain people because the cooling is when, your body makes more melatonin. So it's trial and error. Some people go in the sauna, because when you are in the sauna, you tend to release a little bit of more oxytocin, which helps you to sleep. So different people are different. I would recommend trying certain teas. But tea is also a diuretic, he makes you use the restroom, so you have to be careful. So try chamomile tea, try a hot shower, and then, of course, meditation music, which trying to calm your mind down before you enter the bed. So all trial and error. If it works, it will work. I would recommend people trying it for at least 2 or 3 weeks before you say it's not working.
Thank you. What's your strategies for frequent plane travelers who, let's say, frequently don't have the same routine? Because, let's say if you're traveling every single day, you are going to be, trying to sleep sometimes in the morning, sometimes at night, sometimes in the afternoon, based on whatever time the, flight is actually landing. So do you have any tricks, any hacks for people to fall asleep? I don't know if it's on the plane or when they land, or some tricks or some hacks for frequent plane travelers to deal with insomnia.
Yeah, I have a chapter for jet lag in my book, but jet lag is, I also travel a lot. So for our body, for our circadian rhythm to adjust, it will take one day to adjust for 1 hour. Let's say you're going to, from the United States to London, the 6 hour difference, it will take 6 days for us to adjust to the normal. But there are some tricks you can do. So I tell people, try to take a night flight and then reach us early morning in that destination country. It's much more easier that way than, reaching in there at night. And then when you wake up, try to be at that time. If you land in the morning, try and, you were still nighttime in the country you left. Try to go with the flow of what's going on. Try to get the sunlight. Try to drink, coffee, and try not to nap. And try to go to bed closer to the bedtime in that country. So if it's 10, but try to, because you're so sleepy, it's okay to go to bed around like 8 p.m. And also take a little bit of melatonin at that time. Melatonin is excellent. It's not good for like daily sleep habit, but it's excellent to change the clock when you're traveling. So it helps the clock to time, to adjust. So melatonin. Yeah, at night, and then when you wake up, have some coffee too. The key is you have to adjust to the place where you are, right? Not you cannot be doing what you did from the country you left. And also, some people, what they do, try to sleep later and later, 2 3 hours before you, 2 3 days before you travel, sleep a little bit later, so that you'll be able to force that time change much faster.
Are there any rules related to exercise, aside from everything you talked about, that will impact insomnia?
Yes, after a bout of exercise, you're releasing tons of endorphins and adrenaline because of the pump, and you can't sleep. I can't sleep if I do exercise close to my bedtime. So now I'm done at 6 p.m. Absolutely. But the beauty is, we have to exercise. There's so much data coming out. When I was writing this book, I did a lot of research. On the muscles are secreting chemicals. We always know the laborers slept well. We thought they are tired, but actually it's the muscles that's helping them to sleep better. So it's an exciting field. I think we're going to isolate that chemicals that the muscle secretes to help us sleep. I'm a huge fan of going to I mean going to the gym and working out, because you're stimulating the muscles to help sleep. So, but not close to bedtime.
Thank you. Is there any research related to the stimulants in the environment where you are sleeping? What I'm talking about is, for example, my partner really dislikes the color red, okay? And I really love it. So I used to have it everywhere in our flat, and we had like red curtains and like red bedding and as much red as possible, And what I found was like he was always like anxious and like getting angry for no reason. And then we moved to a different place that was that had like mostly like white, white everything, like white bedding, white glossy, furniture. And I noticed like a deep in a decrease in, like in his anxiety and his anger. And he was generally cooler. And I do think he was sleeping better as well. So I'm wondering what kind of stimulants in your environment could negatively impact sleep? And tell us some of those stimulants in terms of like the environment. Is it the colors? Is it like the noise? Is it I know certain imagery that could potentially be disturbing the sleep, and how can someone prevent having those?
Correct. That's a great question. The darker the color, the brighter, the signal is to the brain. So bedrooms has to be like shades of blue or white, not like the red or the purple. You don't want intensity, because that provokes intense thought. Because when you think about, when you see the color red, you're thinking about blood, right? So that kind of puts the mind into a when you see the color white, you think about peace and happy thoughts. And so that does play an important role. We talked about the temperature being colder, and also the noise affects your brain waves. So make sure that your bedroom is in a calm away from. That's why people close to the railway tracks don't sleep, and in big cities the sleep is affected because of all the sounds. You're right. And of course, all the smell also, we forgot about that. Smell can cause people to be like sneezing and coughing, and you have like an allergic response. So the smell, the color, the light, the sound, the temperature, all affect sleep. And the most important thing is of all those things is the temperature, of the room, because you have to keep it colder for the melatonin to be secreted optimally.
Thank you. When you say colder, tell us what temperature.
So 65 to 70 is optimal. There's different countries have different measurements. So cooler is better, and you can make sure your bedroom is cooler.
Thank you. For me, what I noticed, the thing that was impacting my sleep a lot is actually the bedding. So, for example, if you like perhaps to have a very firm a bed, then you could sleep more comfortable. And if you like it relatively soft, then maybe you would sleep differently. It's harder to actually adjust. And the quality of the bedding as well. So, for example, let's say when you have I like goose feather for like the pillows and the duvet cover. And I find that when I have something that is like cotton and just like the normal stuff that is a lot cheaper, I dislike that. So I find, for example, that I sleep a lot better in hotels. And I'm thinking if that's because actually there's a minimalist style, and also the bed tends to be really, really high quality in like 4 and 5 star hotels, and as well the bed covers tend to be really, really comfortable. What can someone do to make sure that their I don't know, their duvet cover or their other things that they are surrounding themselves with tend to be as comfortable as possible to facilitate better sleep?
Yes, so the sleep, there are something called sleep number beds. You can increase your firmness. Remember, pain is also a deterrent to sleep. So some people have back pain, neck pain. And also this bedding have cooling methods to cool your body. So those things are helpful because if you have back pain and you can adjust it to a certain, firm position, and that's going to help your, sleep much better. So, and also the neck position. So it is important. And the better quality is less allergenic too. Some people are allergic to some of those, feathers and different material, and people start coughing, sneezing. You have an immune response, which is just not coughing, sneezing. It also affects your brain. That's why you're more awake. So sleep number beds is good. And cooling features is also very good. And whatever works is important. For sure, you need a good mattress because you're going to spend a third of our life in bed. So let's invest in a good mattress.
Thank you. Is the presence of a television in your room where you tend to sleep, does that impact your sleep negatively or positively?
Absolutely negatively. I still remember it was 1999. It was Al Gore and it was an election, and Bush and Gore, they were going back and forth. Every minute was one was winning, one was there. I did not sleep the whole night because I was pushing, and then I was in the middle of my own training. That's when I realized we should not have any TV. So for the last 25 years, have I not have a TV in my bedroom, because the many reasons. You always. Most of the time, the news and TV is anxiety provoking. Your mind start racing. You start to worry about even if you watch a murder mystery, you're gonna be afraid, and then all the political unrest. So, and also not to mention the light from the TV. So, remove the TV tonight. Anybody has a TV, they need to take it out and put it outside the room. Same thing with your phone. This one tip will help you sleep by at least 20%.
Thank you. I think one thing that you mentioned, if you watch thrillers, crime watch kind of like movies, or anything that makes you feel a little bit anxious, including the news, I stopped doing that a long time ago, and my partner does still watch some thrillers, and I do find that every time there's like a mafia movie where people are cutting people's fingers and stuff like that, I really get very anxious and it does disturb my sleep. Although normally, like I can drink coffee right now and I could go to sleep. Like I could, like literally, you can put me sleeping on a chair and I would still be able to sleep. So, I'm one of the easiest sleepers ever. The crime kind of movies, they do give me a lot of anxiety. So tell us where entrepreneurs can find you. I do think that was very, very useful, fascinating value-packed interview.
Yeah, to answer your question, what provokes us, you know, some people don't respond to caffeine because their mechanism is little different. You know, the chemical that puts us to sleep is adenosine, and caffeine fights it. So if you're not that person, it won't affect you. Same thing for you, the thriller movies provoke anxiety, but for your partner, it kind of may be soothing. So we are all different. So if you have a pattern, if that's affecting you, identify it, write it down, and try not to do that. So that's be there. So I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee, in the United States, but I have an online website called www.sleepfixacademy.com, where you can see a lot of things. You know, I have an online course to help sleep. It's a 6 weeks course people can take and fall asleep within 6 weeks. I also have my book, Nobody's Sleeping, also on my website and everywhere books are sold. So I'm on this path to help people to sleep better and to discover the superpower, because if you sleep better, you're going to be a better version of yourself.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.